Greetings, everyone. I know I'm not Marita Robert. Marita's with her family, and they decided to do an evening show of their gratitude. And so it is. And we're going to put Sister Marita also in our circle. She has something happened in her back in her daily work. And so we just send a little good energy there to help that out. And I just want to say I am so grateful. I want to praise, respect, thank, and love all the feelings of being together as a group now. I guess this is going on the sixth year, isn't it? My goodness. And I am grateful also for what we have accomplished, and let's really look deeply, because this group work has been opening the stage for an age of enlightenment like we've never been in before. And it's going to be continuing to grow. Go Bernie, feel the burn. And I love you, Sister Angel Sue. I love you from Louisiana. Sister is going to help us set the tone today and every day. And may the day of enlightenment be long and prosperous and good. And I pass this lavender rainbow rose talking stick to you, Sister Sue.
Thank you so much. Friend Rama, we love you and all the wonderful team that we've been over time, all the beautiful souls that have been here. And so with this day of gratitude, we're going to say, welcome in the light of the most radiant one, and in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ. Oh my gosh, I'm getting goosebumps. And we're invoking the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. And we're calling in the recognition once again within ourselves of who we really are, the divine children of the universe. And just being here and holding the intent to find miracles, to believe in Nasara, Nasara, the Reformation Act, all these different things that we choose to bring into our heart space. It's a mighty work just to recognize that within ourselves. So, brothers and sisters, please call in your support team, your higher self, your beloved twin flame, your guides, your masters, your teachers, your angels, your councils of light, and all those from the lighted realms that celebrate who you are and what you're capable of. And with this day of gratitude, it is a mighty time to just look within. Intend first that every breath that you take in and that you release is filled with unconditional divine love and deep gratitude, and that it's always expanding within you and going forward and expanding and multiplying and covering the planet within it, upon it, and around it. So breathing in and out from the heart space is a marvelous effort to shift the energies. And so looking within yourself at the very top of your head, clear down to the bottom of your feet, find what can be celebrated, what you can be grateful for, what can be calibrated, what can be brought into balance even more beautifully, and what can be released. And so for the next 90 seconds, as we're doing this, Let's praise, respect, thank, and love everything that we find. I'll be your timekeeper. And here we go. I'm going to mute out now. 90 seconds.
Sister Angel Sue, are we there?
Whoops, I forgot to unmute.
I thought we were meditating extra long today. Go ahead, go back over your sharing. I don't want to miss a thing. Here we go, sister.
Oh, I'm a little tired tonight. I'm calling in now for all those that we claim in our lives and those that we don't, usually. But, for instance, for anyone that's going through some challenges, like Marita Robert is with her back, and my mom, my mother, Harriet, she's a beautiful senior, a beautiful leader, but she's having some physical changes. I've got them. All those that we are aware of and those that we're not, that are going through the physical changes or the mental changes and challenges, the emotional aspect, the spiritual, the prosperity issues, anything. Even for any of our beloved others that walk on 4 feet or fly or scoot along. Everything. Let's praise, respect, thank, and love them for their contribution to the journey. And we can start that now. I'll mute out, and we shall go. And now, we're going to call in the Law of One, the original law of creation, and all laws, all dimensions are liable to behaving well with this one, the Law of One. So it's the Grand Reset. And we're going to call in the perfect, divine, happy solution here for every person, place, condition, and thing throughout all time and space. So as we celebrate gratitude and the gathering together as a unit of one, let us now open up our heart space even wider and see heaven on earth now, filled with divine beings, ourselves. So we're calling in all the beings known and unknown, seen and unseen, and we're just filling our hearts with gratitude for all of them, and accepting that they find their happiness as well as ours. And so when we join together and say we are all one, and when one is harmed, then all are harmed. Yet as one is helped, then all are helped. And therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, Owati, one with all there is. We ask that only the highest good of all concerned happen here, and we give thanks that this is done in the most marvelous miracles. And so we are now ending up and saying, all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And the Sara now. I pass the talking stick back.
Okay. Okay, we made it. We did a lot of okay, Commander Doug, did you get a hold of Sister Rainbird? Commander Doug.
No, Rainbird said she has to reach out to us when she's ready.
Does that mean she's going to call a little later?
She'll call in later.
Okay. Well, then it's our turn, everyone. Greetings, everybody. I just want to look forward to now. We have really made a turning point here in so many ways. And just to go over what, for those who missed Ashtar on the Road, I want to say that we're in the fourth week now of the Wingmaker ships coming in through the portals in the sun. And that is continuing. And so there could be, I don't know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of ships when all is said and done. So the energy is keeping us in a state of available to more love. And of course, it's our choice to open our hearts more.
Yes.
And to continue to receive it. But the availability is there. And, the acknowledging of that presence, you know, the fairies are asking us all the time, just ask and we will help you. We are here at your service.
I mean, they're here. We can see them. It's no more just speculation.
No.
All the kingdoms are here, as Mother said, to dance with us.
Mm-hmm. And there's an escalation of activity at the ground level, too, you might say, meaning that the Black Lives Matter group that aren't leaving until the things that they need and demand to change are changed.
Yes.
And the primary one is to release the videotape to the public of what really happened to that brother there, Jamar. What was his last name? The young man was literally in handcuffs when he was shot dead there.
Yes.
And the story is so not the same as the one that the police made up. And Amy Goodman was in detail on these with this young lady representing the Black Lives Matter people there. And this is opening up something that the King of Swords told us all, that every single one of these police all the way back for decades are going to be held accountable now. And it's really important because the situation that we're in with Mr. What do you call that hair piece again?
the hair piece.
Yeah, he's gone totally Nazi. I mean,
it's, you know,
he's got full, he's gone full Nazi, as they say.
Right, but he's not a good version of Hitler.
Well, he's very unconvincing.
Yeah.
I would not think that was cute.
No.
As this was rigged into that manner of directional signals coming to our lives. And that's agreed upon with the Galactics, you can be assured. And the one thing that's good about it is that he's gone so far overboard, you know. Yes, and leave it to the children, what they experience, and, you know, worried about the guns and the little boy's father saying, but we have flowers, so...
We have flowers.
We are going to stay on that note. And there's much spirit of, you might say, the wisdom of the higher beings coming in right now. And I want to focus on that energy as much as possible. Tonight and on Al Jazeera, they brought in, you know, beautiful music and people that are part of our transformative prophets generation that have brought us into the hero's light. And of course, the heroes, there's a young hero from Black Lives Matter in Atlanta, Georgia, that introduced Bernie Sanders, and they call him Killer Mike. what he said was a lot. Maybe we could just play that clip right now, right?
Yeah,
right, Grandma?
And Killer Mike, if you're listening, thank you for following me on Twitter.
Yeah, and Doug, as Rainbird gets in on here, just have, you know, send us a little message so that we can, you know that she's here. Okay, so let's see this. This is Killer Mike gives a powerful speech at Bernie Sanders rally in Atlanta. Okay, yes, sir. And this is about 6 minutes, so just let's listen to our brother speak here.
Killer Mike is more than just a rapper. He's an activist. He's a humanitarian. He's a self-described son of this city. He just told some reporters backstage that if you cut him, he bleeds Atlanta. He's a business owner. That's right. That's right. He's a business owner, but most importantly, he is someone who has stood up, who has said enough is enough, who is going to get engaged, and he's going to take everybody he can with him. So please, give a warm round of applause to Killer Mike, ladies and gentlemen.
I am honored to be here. Oh, I am truly, truly honored to be here. I am from Atlanta, Georgia, and I say that proudly. I repeat, I am from Atlanta, Georgia, and I say that proudly. If you're from Atlanta, Georgia, you may be familiar with a young man who grew up not far from here. His name was Martin King. Now I know this is the part where usually it's a black minister in front of you, and usually you get all warm and cozy inside, and usually you hear about I Have a Dream and us holding hands for ice cream. That's not why I'm here today. I'm not here to talk about benevolent politicians that are going to come and save the day for you. I'm not here to talk about a dream that we think is unattainable, so we settle for less. I'm not here to talk about a utopian society where everyone is forgiven and no one has to pay for past debts. What I'm talking about today is the Martin King post the Washington March. Martin King present the war on poverty. Martin King against the war machine that uses your sons and your nephews to go to other lands and murder. Talking about a revolutionary. I have no time in my short 40 years on this earth to relive the Reagan years. I have no desire to see us elect our own Margaret Thatcher. I am here as a proponent for a political revolution that says health care is a right of every citizen. I'm here because working class and poor people deserve a chance at economic freedom. And yes, if you work 40 hours a week, you should not be in poverty. That's why I'm here. I didn't come here to lollygag because I rap. This could be y'all last time seeing me because I got tours to go on. I got jets to fly on and I ain't lying on. But while I'm here, I have to tell you that in my heart of hearts, I truly believe that Senator Bernie Sanders is the right man to lead this country. And I believe it because he, unlike any other candidate, said, I would like to restore the Voting Rights Act. He, unlike any other candidate, said, I wish to end this illegal war on drugs that disproportionately targets minorities and poor. Unlike any other candidate in my life, he says that education should be free for every citizen of this country. Now I only have a few minutes, but As I read the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's comments about me speaking tonight, one jumped out at me and it broke my heart. It says, I don't listen to rap and I'll no longer be listening to Bernie Sanders. And I just want to say that whoever wrote that, before I was a rapper, I was a son of Atlanta. Before I ever wrote one rhyming word on paper, before that, I was a black man in America. And before I ever learned how to dance a jig, I gave a damn about American politics. I gave a damn about the people of America, and I took to the streets and I advocated. So, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know there are not a lot of voices of dissension out there. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm here to tell you, stay encouraged, stay invigorated, stay bold, stay confronting bullshit at every turn. Make sure that wherever you go, you take the name, the ideas, the philosophy, and the ideology of Bernie Sanders there, and you make sure when you leave, they are on fire because they have felt the burn.
Yeah.
I have a line from one of my raps, and I'm going to get out of your way. I have said in many a rap, I don't trust the church or the government, a Democrat, Republican, a Pope or a Bishop or those other men. But after spending 5 hours tonight, after spending 5 hours with someone who has spent the last 50 years radically fighting for your rights and mine, I can tell you that I am very proud tonight to announce the next president of the United States, Senator Bernie Sanders. Everyone give him a round of applause.
Yeah, well, he certainly said it all, everyone. That was a good one. And today we went to see the Sikhs, and we had our Thanksgiving blessings there, and the children sang songs and played the synthesizer, and a group of young Sikhs, they did a, what was that?
They did a little skit about zombies and how even zombies need more love.
We don't know how close we are to realizing what that is all about. There's, you know, the super soldiers that have been turned into zombies, really.
Oh, my God.
And this post-traumatic syndromes that are all over the place.
They just can't.
And the suicides, they're up to 25 a day here when our soldiers come home.
And they just came out in the last, you know, 2-3 days with the preview for the next Avengers movie, Captain America, Civil War, where the Cap goes up against Iron Man, and the story directly parallels what's going on this planet, where, you know, Mr. Hare said, oh, let's create a database of Islamic people around the country. Well, in Civil War, they want to create a database of all the extraterrestrials that come to Earth, keep track of them, monitor their movements, stop them if they deem they're hostile. And I'm just saying, they're playing with stuff in Hollywood and it ain't cool. And, you know, I Stan Lee is a friend, yet I need to say, Stan Lee is the creator of Marvel Comics with a whole, you know, entourage of folks. Yet Stan Lee stood up to Hillary because he gave her a contribution back when Bill and Hillary were running the second time. And then he took his contribution back, and she got on his case like flies on you know what. And Hillary has been after Stan Lee for a long, long time. I'm going off track here. I'm just saying that what we see in Hollywood parallels kind of the bigger story here of how we, our friends are here. I passed the talking stick.
Yes, and also these energies are being made available to really choose to raise our vibrations to the 12th dimension. And that's the point where we came in the Pleiades, 450 billion years ago. And I just heard that said again. We went to see our sister.
Urumi.
Yes, and hold this. Oh, yeah, I would hold this for now, just a minute. They call it in the Sikh teachings, they call it the Enuma Elish. And another name for them are the Seven Tablets of Creation. Enuma Elish. So I think we could look that up on the computer.
And this goes all the way back to when Mother and Father Alcyone did their Big Bang thing and created this 450 billion years ago.
And some of the things that are in there are also in Zechariah Sitchin's reaccountings, especially in the story of Gilgamesh. Yet there's a story about India at the time of Akbar the Great, that past life of Barack Obama. And at that time, and we spoke about this a while ago, but I'm bringing it up again. At that time, Akbar the Great, and the reason this came to my mind is because there's a Sikh gentleman I was sitting behind, and his name was Akbar. So I remembered the whole story and I shared that with him. And what he did is he went to the Sikh guru at the time, I forgot the whole name of the guru.
Yeah, I forgot.
But anyway, he went there and he offered him this gold so that they could increase their teachings. As he was a Mughal king, he was a Muslim. Yet there were elements at the time which are equal to what we call Taliban today in India. And energies, and that was in the Pashtun people. And the Sikhs are in Pashtun. That's where they began their work. And the teacher, the Sikh teacher, the Sikh guru, he was with great gratitude, yet he said, no, I don't want to do that, thank you, because I don't want to be beholden to the secular state for what happens here. And his daughter came forward, and so Akbar offered her that which she had offered her father when that was appropriate, and she took it. And what they did is they built the golden temple, the golden Sikh temple. And the Sikhs were, they were teachers, and they were a part of bringing a balance to the situation that was there. And then Akbar the Great also brought in poetry like Rumi and Kabir. And remember, I just can't. It's enough. He could not read or write. He was not taught those things. And what he did is he had the greatest poets come and read and sing and play music and spiritual things. And he brought in these Sufi energy, which is the highest form of Muslim teachings. It's the mystical form of Muslim teachings. So now you had the Sikhs and the Sufis counter-indicating Taliban and I guess our modern-day Western creation of
all CIA,
renegades,
duh.
All CIA, duh, which is just another renegade portion of misbehaving, you might say. And again, he completed and ended 49 wars in all of India, which is a very vast place. It's bigger than the United States, in case anybody's wondering, by a lot.
Yeah, ending 49 wars is no small task.
No, and he did it by bringing in love and truth and songs, and he created a coinage and just an amazing. And remember, his grandson was Lord Kutumi. His name was
Jodha Akbar.
Jodha Akbar. And he built the Taj Mahal. He was an incarnation of Kutumi. And Akbar the Great was an incarnation of El Morya.
If you want to see a really cool movie on Netflix, or even I guess it might be on YouTube, put in Jodha Akbar and you'll see the story. It's a love story.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yes, because he built the Taj Mahal in honor of his beautiful beloved. Yes,
right.
That's true. Which undoing a certain way of thinking, because I don't know what's going on here.
I have been to the Taj Mahal. I have walked in it. It is just, I mean, I have no words. It's just, you feel the energy of Lord Kutumi in that sacred temple. That's all I can say. It takes your breath away, and then it comes back, and it's like, oh my God.
Yes, and then there's another, we brought this up today to Gurumeet, to watch the film, the Mahabharata.
Yes.
Again, Krishna and Arjuna
are having this cosmic tete-a-tete discussion, and Krishna does his thing where he shows up in his universal form. And, you know.
And what the thing is also that his own son, Arjuna, sacrificed his life.
Yeah.
He went in amongst
the Pandavas brothers.
Which are not pretty story.
No.
And they slaughtered his own son.
And this is a remnant of the Orion War that got filtered down to Earth.
Yeah, it was a 5,000-year war.
And
it's the story of ascension in its evolutionary stages, you might say, over a 5,000-year period.
George Lucas kind of loosely based Star Wars on this story. That is the larger picture.
Yeah, and if you're going to rent it or get it somewhere, I guess it's on YouTube now.
Yeah.
I think you can watch it. It's 6 hours long, but it's got Indians, you know, English subtitles. It's all done in India. I think it's just an amazing thing to learn from. And that was a comparative story. The idea is that it may have continued, the war may have continued, but it did come to its conclusion eventually after that happened with Arjuna. Is in the Sikh story, there are these two young boys, 3 and 5 years old, and they were being tested as little Sikh children to give up to the government, to give up their religion.
Right.
And they said no. And so they were bricked in, and that was done in a
walled
in, and they were killed. The thing is that because that was actually done with love, it changed everybody that was watching,
right,
and it literally turned history. An act like that. I'm not asking everybody to, you know, go make a sacrifice to them, you know. But in a certain point of evolutionary times, these things made a huge difference, is what I think I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So the point is that we're here now. And to become aware of these kinds of traditional and very cosmic stories, as to how we are evolving. And this is the first time in history where we're going to be raising our vibration back to our original 12th dimensional vibration. It's been 450 billion years that it has not been this way until now.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like world group ascension time. And I think I'll take just a break right now. And I think we should play that meditation so that we can set the tone for our sister Carolyn. She's going to be here in about 14 minutes. So let's do that. So let's do that. Yes.
And this is from Children of the Sun. And what they're saying is, you know, this meditation to send energy to the UN Climate Change Conference in Paris starts November 30th through December 11th. But they're saying start now.
Oh, yes. Start yesterday. Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is invocation support to assist in opening the portals of light over the United Nations Conference on Climate Change, held in Paris, November 30 through December 11, 2015. Please now allow yourself to become very still, quieting the mind and bringing the awareness within. Your bodily energy. As you breathe, keep expanding your vibrational field wider and wider. Planetary grid of unity consciousness, feeling your connection as part of this web of light that connects the higher consciousness of us all. Feeling yourself as one with the unified field. Connect yourself as a bridge of unity of light to the Climate Change Conference. We will now make our call for divine intervention. Because we live on a free will planet, it is essential that we invite the realms of light to intervene and act on our behalf. This guarantees that all unfolds in right divine order for the highest benefit of all. In making this call, you may follow along with me from the web page, or merge your energy with mine to become one voice, one heart. Beloved Divine Presence and Great Spirit of all life, we call into dynamic action the consummate force of divine love, divine wisdom, and the power of your will. Bring to us now a great surge of intervening support to assist and protect the United Nations 2015 Climate Change Conference and all people, governments, and countries who are involved and influenced by its most positive outcome. We call forth and give thanks to the fields of consciousness that are directing the cosmic light intelligence to the earth, and those that are inspiring the highest levels of coherent, sustainable new creation. We invoke and give thanks to the support of the Star Nations of Light, who are greatly supporting and overseeing Earth evolution. We call into our activity and give our deepest love to the consciousness of the earth, the elemental nature, and the unified field. We also give gratitude to our planetary sun and its transforming solar radiation. Please now take a few moments and call in your own spiritual guides to this climate summit. Dear Holy Ones with us now, by and through the redeeming power of unity consciousness, we call forth immediate intervention from the realms of universal truth to assist our planetary climate changes and in accordance with the highest good of the earth and all humanity. We ask that the mightiest purification be made possible that releases and transforms any and all corruption, scandals, and misinformation about our climate situation. May the truth be revealed. Divine Presence and assisting angels, come, come, come. Open the portals of light over the Paris 2015 Climate Conference. Penetrate the light of truth, clarity, and wisdom and to the minds of all participating governments, climate strategists, scientists, negotiators, and decision makers. Raise the power of the conference group will with inspiration to reach an effective and intelligent climate agreement, one that builds a sound framework for low-carbon societies and sustainable livelihoods. Bring the light of grace to the negotiation process. Empower the minds and hearts of everyone involved with ideas for sustainable solutions that are fundamental to lasting peace and financial justice. May these solutions enable all countries of the world to quickly enter into and adapt to renewable forms of energy and cleaner, more resilient economies. Thank you, beloved Divine Presence, for showing us how to create, coordinate, and implement these solutions on world scale. Please visualize now the portals of light opening over the United Nations Climate Summit in Paris. With all of this divine intervention now streaming in, we will now project ourselves as a beacon of light into the conference. Send your light of love now. We are simply projecting and building the field of coherent love as a way to support a successful outcome and our vision realized for a sustainable Earth. May this focus of divine light and its containing matrix be made eternally sustained and all powerfully active and ever expanding until the divine plan is fulfilled for the earth in accordance with the greatest good of all. We seal this activity in cosmic peace. Beloved avatars, thank you. It is done. Almighty I am. Almighty I am. Almighty I am.
Stop. We are a minute over. Please forgive us over there. But we will. That's right. No, we're on this call, so we don't go off the air. Okay, that's good that we got to the end. I just want to say that's really the most important thing to focus on now, as climate change has become undercut, you might say, with all of the scenes of distraction, call them what they are. Yet, I would like to see if our brother, yes, okay, no answer from Caroline.
She says it's on here.
Caroline, are you there? I see you on the board here. Let's just make sure to put the right number in for our sister here. Or why don't you go call her, Rama? I mean, the only number we have is the one that you got from our sister Marita. Okay. Rama, you want to put that number in there?
I got to see the pin.
There's two numbers. No, there's just one.
This number.
Okay, just put it in there. Go ahead and put it in there just to make sure it matches with what Doug has. Mm-hmm. I hope we'll have our guest here. And even as we don't, I would just like to say that I want to read you something because I thought it was well done. And I can do that while we're waiting here. Let's see where it begins.
Guest is with us.
Oh, good. Caroline, you're there. Caroline.
Caroline, yes.
Caroline, I love your milk. Can you hear me?
I can hear you all right. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, hell, you very well. Sister, I just want to introduce you. Allow me.
Okay,
you're such an accomplished sister of ours. And also, I love your second name, Oceana, everyone. That is such a beautiful name. Bless your mother. I don't know if you stuck that in there. That's pretty awesome.
Well, I chose it, actually. My great-aunt was born on a ship coming over to America from the north of England, and her name was Oceana because she was born on a ship. So when I changed my name, I took her name as my second name, yeah, because I love the sea.
That's pretty powerful. Did she come over from, did you say from Ireland?
No, I took my great-grandmother's name, Orion. She went over to England during the famine, and she married a fellow there and had children, and then they got on a ship in 1898 and came over to New York City. My great-grandmother had a baby whom they named Oceana. On the ship. So anyways, that's just how that happened.
Oh, my goodness. In other words, it's going over the waters right there and then.
Yes.
You know, that brings to mind the Baha'i faith people. They don't believe in reincarnation the same way that we do. But what they do believe in is that great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents can have a dream, and then their great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren can actually remember the dream in their own DNA and live it out and make it so.
And that's fascinating.
It is. It truly is. And when we make connections with our ancestors, like your name, for instance, that even makes it stronger. You know, the heart of that being is reincarnated in a certain way, you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so with that collective idea, let's make it the whole story. We're just introducing that one concept of the seven-day 7 days of creation. Elish, it's an E, begins with an E. You left that paper up there. Anyway, it's the story of the 450 billion years. It goes all the way back, like Mother always says. So we're going to see if we can share some of that tomorrow or the next day.
Videos of all the seven.
You got to talk a little louder.
There's seven videos of all the seven chapters, talking about the story of Tiamat and Anu and Ki and Enlil.
Oh, and the creation story that Zachariah Sitchin put down.
Yeah.
That would be fascinating.
Yes, let's do fascinating things. And talking about fascinating, our Caroline Oceana Ryan is an author, a channeler, a speaker, and a human rights activist. She holds an MA in Education and Theological Studies from Union Theological Seminary in New York. I live just a couple of blocks from one of those in Chicago. And I knew many people that attended there. In 2014, I think Chris Hedges, I think he went there too, if I'm not correct. Chris Hedges, yes. Mm-hmm. In 2014, Caroline published the second edition of her nonfiction travel memoir, Adventures in Belfast, Northern Irish Life After the Peace Agreement. That ought to have been interesting. Oh, my. The Ascension Manual, A Lightworker's Guide to Fifth Dimensional Living. And this was published in 2015. And it is the first book in the Ascension Manual series. And then she does the Collective's Weekly Message to Lightworkers channelings. And you can find those on CarolineOceanaRyan.com/messages-lightworkers. That's easy enough. And I'm going to pass this talking stick to you, Sister Caroline.
Well, thank you so much for letting me be on the show again. And that was an absolutely beautiful invocation and meditation. And there just seems to be so much happening in the world right now. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask the collective or anything specific you'd like them to talk about, I can bring them in, and they can speak on whatever, you know, whatever you would like. And it's up to you.
Okay, that's a great idea, Sister. I was just going to tell everybody, this is for everybody to call in. And the universal number to do that would be 8 for North America. Well, for Canada and the United States, I got to say, I don't think Mexico's included in that. But 888-429-5471. And then you can also take this number in the United States. You can call, or anywhere actually, you can call in at 530-413-9537. And I think I could start off. I have a rather cosmic question I want to ask because, I mean, we've got these Wingmaker ships from 175 million years into the future who are coming back to this particular moment in time as it's the moment where we can nip that 175 million years downward spiral, meaning that one-third of the Milky Way galaxy went missing in those 175 million years, and that is a whole lot of downward spiral, and that these particular reptilian invaders, which are epitomized right now, we've got Mr. Hairpiece actually just going for it, and in a sense, it's kind of good in my conscious thinking, in the sense that he's not leaving anything to the imagination.
No.
He's saying, you're going to get what I represent. And if you didn't get it out, let me tell you a little more explicitly, you know. And there was an ad that I don't know if it's on there because I'm not watching it, because they're doing all these on-camera things on MSNBC. Rachel Maddow had this story last night where she was saying that John Kasich and three other characters, Lindsey Graham and Jim, whatever that Jim,
Gilmore
and one more. Who was the one more person? I don't remember. But it's not so important in the sense that it's the gist of what they're doing, which is that they get equal time. That's the story, where they get 24 one-minute ads that they can put on for this whole prime time on Friday and Saturday nights. So that means on MSNBC, when nobody's doing their thing and they're doing all this other stuff, but they can do these ads. And so there's an ad that's just very slightly over a minute, and maybe I'll just take this and just read it, because it's pretty profound. And again, it's like it doesn't leave anything to the imagination. And so John Kasich, his ad against the GOP, especially Donald Trump, you know, and it goes like this. I would like anyone who is listening to consider some thoughts that I paraphrased from the words of German pastor Martin Niemöller. Quote, "You might not care, as Donald Trump says, Muslims must register with their government." And Trump said, in his words, "Implement a database for U.S. Muslims." Because you're not one. And you might not care, as Donald Trump says, he's going to round up all the Hispanic immigrants, because you're not one. And Donald Trump's words were, "mass deportation plan means making the United States a police state." You might not care, as Donald Trump says, it's okay, as you wrap up black protesters. And Donald Trump on the Trump on protesters, maybe he should have been roughed up. Oh, the protester that black like me, who said black lives matter, that's what, in the audience, yeah. And while the people in the audience around him, the white people, they were literally beating him up, and Donald Trump was egging them up and saying, maybe he should have been roughed up, you know, on Fox News. Okay, so because you're not one. And you might not care, as Donald Trump wants to suppress journalists, because you are not one. And this is about an Hispanic journalist was thrown out of the room in the audience from Mexico. Yeah, where, and he was on a major Hispanic news ground. He was a reporter, anchor man, like Walter Cronkite of the past for the Hispanic. I forgot his name. What?
He was the anchor for Telemundo.
Telemundo, yes. So I guess I'm being long-winded here, but it's very specific in the sense that he's being specific about anything except white Anglo-Saxon folks, like in the time of our founding fathers, which was very short. So, and think about this. As he keeps going and he actually becomes president, he might just get around to you, and you'd better hope that there is someone left to help you. So it's a very large, you know, cosmic story. We've got large frames of reference. We've got wing makers from 175 million years in the future. They're combining all these thoughts and all of these ideas of setting up this type of system, which would be ideal for this 175 million years to roll up in another downward spiral. So I would like, I take as much time as you want to the Dear Collective to speak to us on how we can participate and, you know, involve this beautiful energy and this expansion of our wisdom as we are the wisdom keepers. It is in our hands at this time to discern and wake more people up in this moment in time with what the agenda is from the opposition. I pass it to you.
All right. Yes. Okay. We'll see what they say. The first thing I do is to ask Divine Mother to come in with her beautiful presence. And I ask Archangel Michael to come in with his sword of truth, so that only truth is spoken here. And then I'll ask the collective to come in. Greetings, dear ones. And we are most honored to be among you today on this beautiful day of giving thanks, not only in the United States, but it is carried out as well in other places in the world. For the idea of being thankful and being grateful and full of appreciation for all that one has, however meager that may seem at times, is spreading further and further across the world. And indeed, there is an increasing unity in human consciousness, an increasing sense that these notions of separation must go. They must dissolve now. That they are an illusion. That they are no longer relevant to life upon the earth. And indeed, they were never relevant. They were always an illusion. But you have come to a point now in your evolution as the human species, as beings upon the earth, and of course there are many, many thousands of different species upon the earth, but you are each in your own way coming to the realization that the separateness, the notion of lack of unity, is really a foolish and highly destructive idea, and that its time is well past. And so, yes, we gather at this time before this beautiful conference, conferences in different parts of the world, including the UN conference, regarding climate change, because of this increasing understanding that there is no separation between this planet and those who live in and upon her, that all are dependent upon one another and all are joined together in one spirit and one beautiful flow of universal energy, and that there is no saying, well, the earth, it is this, or we may take this from the earth because it is insensible to us, or we may do such and such with our corporations to benefit the few because that is how we have always done it, and it is best this way, and people are too ignorant to know differently. For your earth is not in it. It is a beautiful soul, a beautiful and astounding being whose soul has cried out into the universe for help. And indeed, we would say that that part of humankind which connects to the earth, and that is an increasingly conscious connection, those souls have also cried out into what appears to be a void, and that is the open universe beyond your planet. And hence, yes, the wing makers have come forth. But understand that as all times are one, you are calling out to her in all times. You are calling out to the earth, and you are calling out to the universe, and you are calling out to your friends. The wing makers are one group assisting you. There are others. They come specifically from the future, from what you perceive to be the future, which is in fact now, as all times are now, that they come specifically from the future so that you will begin to have a sense of all times being now, and you will understand the urgency of your conscious involvement in understanding unity and understanding that the separateness, the divisiveness, the violence is beyond useless. And so you have called out to her on a soul level. Humankind has called out to them. And this is a time of coming forth, a time of souls joining together in the sense of a unified consciousness and a unified purpose. And the purpose, yes, is to aid your universe and to somewhat to re-rise and rewrite that timeline upon which that the separation of the universe, the separation of parts of the Milky Way from itself is removed and dissolved and rewritten. And it is as well a time of honoring your Earth and coming forward as a people, not only to save yourselves upon this Earth, but to understand that you are responsible for her. She is someone that you love. She is someone that who has cradled you. She is someone who has raised you. And you cannot separate yourself from your mother. And so there has been, over thousands of years, the denigration of the divine feminine. But you will notice now that it is increasingly being revered, despite the use of terms, goddess terms such as Isis, the incorrect term of the name Isis, to represent a group of marauders and bandits and what are called terrorists, which is an odd word because it isn't so much terror that they invoke as a sort of almost a petulant exclamation from the old power source, the old power structure, that they not be removed and they not be pushed aside or not be shoved off of their throne. But you have, as a people, you as a unified voice upon the earth, have decided that it is time for them to go. And the energies coming to the earth and the astrological alignments have all supported this. And so, yes, there was a calling out to the watchmakers, but there was a calling out to other galactic groups, each according to their soul pattern and their soul home and their planetary home on a soul basis. But we would say that what you are doing in rewriting and revising and shifting and changing this timeline is occurring on a soul level. It appears to be occurring outwardly on a physical level, but it is a matter of curing and healing and filling in and sewing up the fissures that occur in this universe in terms of the collective souls. And it is not merely political. It is not merely galactic. It is not merely in terms of what occurs physically in your universe with the Milky Way or any other celestial body. It is larger than that. It is greater than that. For you are reuniting with your divine aspect. You're reuniting with the idea of the divine feminine, with the reality of the divine feminine within yourselves, and with that soul presence within humanity, which has been so long sort of denigrated and shoved into the narrow categorizations that are permitted by religion, which are beyond insufficient to describe the power and the scope and the expansiveness of souls and their purpose and their astounding beauty. And so, yes, we answer you, and the angelic realm are answering you. We, all of us, do. And the divine feminine being born in you, again, within all of you, sort of, one might say, makes it okay now to unify, makes it okay to see the imbalances within the current power structure and how despicably unjust and unthinkable its actions have been for many thousands of years. And though it is true that, for the most part, consciously, people do not yet grasp how deep and how far the injustice has run, unconsciously, they most assuredly understand it. And you could hear it in the young man known as Killer Mike, who is a great and old soul. You could hear it in his voice. And if you were to be in the room with him, you would see it, absolutely, you would see it in his eyes. And most assuredly, you see it in the eyes of young people. And it is so as well that African Americans very often are old souls who come specifically at this time, those who are on the planet at this time, come specifically to aid in this unifying, in the sense of waking people up to the injustice that is most obviously dealt out upon the non-white or upon the quote-unquote non-Christian with a small c. And by pointing out the injustice, they are helping people to awaken. And you speak of awakening, and we would say it is not only, as you know, political, it's not only social. Those are indicators which point to the spiritual imbalances, the energetic and etheric imbalances. And so this is the time of awakening to the scales being tipped far, far too far over to one side for far too long. And so that the lady, the image of the lady with the scales and the blindfold over her eyes, this is somewhat of a humorous image to us, because on the galactic scale, you have not known justice on your planet for many, many thousands of years, in fact, many millions. And you are aware of this. And increasingly, it will be impossible for the charade called terrorism to continue, because the veil is being pulled away and people are beginning to understand. The nakedness of the motives is becoming plain in terms of when politicians speak. And you have named several, but there are others as well. They come forward and they make their statements, and increasingly people are seeing, well, I can either be fearful and bank on these who deal in fear, bank on them to keep me safe, or I can understand that I am here to realize I have the capability to stand on my own, that I don't need to pay with my life energy. I have to pay someone else to remain safe. I can create my own life. I can create my own abundance. I can create my own justice. And if those who say they are in charge do not like that, if they do not agree with me, then I must ask what divinity somewhere put them in charge. Because then that I would call that a false god, whoever put them in charge. And so you see the entire structure coming up for questioning, the entire structure coming up for discussion. And this is something, this is a form of empowerment and self-awareness and awareness of the world, a form of awakening, which the power structure never banked on. And we would say that this is an astounding time. There is certainly, one can do a great deal to awaken others, but only if they are interested in awakening. But we would encourage you to say that it is not a thing to stress or worry over, that awakening is occurring because it is in the very air. And now, and you had some slight indication of this in the 1960s, when, as they say, politics was in the air you breathed, and the idea of oneness and the idea of unity and persons being understanding that they are all interconnected and all life being interconnected. You had a brief moment, which was a small indication, a sort of the door opening a crack, of people coming together and understanding that the separations had been falsely created for the benefit of a very few, and that wars were being falsely created for the benefit of a very few. And likewise, weapons production and much of what is called big pharma and human trafficking and the street drug trade. Likewise, there are simply different shapes and colors of different businesses, but they were all being run by the same crowd. And so you had a slight opening at that point when the energies began to shift and people began to wake up. And then in time, they laughed at that and closed their eyes and their ears and their hearts again. But now you see things opening once more. And there's less of a shock and less of a feeling of, well, this is only a young people's movement, or, well, this is only for those types who like to go out in the street and protest. But when you look at the crowd, in those rare moments that they show close-ups on the news of the crowds gathered, as they have been in the streets in Minneapolis, Chicago, and elsewhere, you will see people of all different ages, quite young and even quite elderly, well into 70s and 80s. And yes, the police departments are not hesitating to haul people in regardless of age and to mistreat them regardless of age and regardless of situation or medical condition. And that will also come up to be reviewed and to be for all to be held accountable for those who have engaged in this behavior. But you will notice the bravery of those involved who understand what they are walking into, and yet they do it anyway. And this is, to us, an astounding moment of great beauty. And so the reason our writer is emotional at this time and asking us to stop her from being emotional has partly to do with the fact that as a young woman, she lived in New York City in the Reagan-Bush years and saw all these buildings growing up with the name of Trump on them and despaired that she would ever see her country come through this terrible fog, and yet it is doing so. And so we must bless and thank you for all that you do to awaken the many multitudes, but we would say that there is little to fear there and that they are awakening and that each must awaken in their own time and way. And we would further say that as your earth itself awakens and the energies continue to course through all of the earth and through her atmosphere, and that there is nothing to stop this, there is nothing to stop both the astrological occurrences and simply this entry into this new era. We do not speak with specificity about astrological occurrences because, fascinating as they are, we wish for people to concentrate on their own development and to concentrate on the, those alignments which occur within them and with the, which occur within their energies. And the greatest alignment is with one's own higher self and one's own soul. And when the soul is ready to expand and move on, it will do so. And we see this great expansion occurring all around the earth now, all around the earth. And there is no stopping it. And we thank you for your astounding work and your astounding light. But have faith those around you are catching light and catching fire, for it cannot be otherwise now. You have decided that on a soul level, on a collective unity level. There is no ending it. Yes.
Thank you, Sister Caroline, and thank you, Archangel Michael. And yes, I thank you for sharing and being open to the, you know, the sensitivity that we all have to almost being given an extra little push. And Commander Randy, I know you're calling from way over there in Thailand. I know you had to be aware of the time, but as you can, try to call now because there's a point where we can receive you. If you call back, we'll catch you, okay? And maybe we'll just tell our sister here and Archangel Michael that as you call in consideration, we might stop you just for a moment and then take your question. I hope you can hear us, Commander Randy. Okay. Sat Nam. All right. Now, what I was going to say is that how not to be emotional. I mean, it's how to allow those emotions to flow and to ask for the teaching, and that the work that you're doing, sister, is really going deep now. And I know that's because of the deep work that you've been doing. And also to go to a country that, yes, there was a definition of peace, yet to go to that country reminded me of, I was working, Rama and I were working at this, okay, let's get Commander Randy here for you. Commander Randy, welcome. Thank you for coming back in. You're on line two, sir.
Greetings, everybody.
Greetings.
I have one question for Caroline.
Okay.
Alexis. Since my accident yesterday, my cat has not left my side. So I would like to know what kind of a spiritual connection this cat and I have. He's with me all the time now. I don't know if anyone knows, but I was hit by a motorbike yesterday riding my pedal bike. And I'm just stiff and sore, no broken bones, nothing else. What was interesting is the man fell asleep and hit me and woke up when he hit the pavement. So I'm going to just hang up the phone here because I'm running out of time and listen to Caroline and the collective. Namaste.
Well, greetings.
Greetings, friend. Yes, this is an interesting time. You will find that there are moments which shape one badly, such as what you have experienced recently. Part of this is because of the very great shift in the Earth's energies, and also because of the great, very great shift within each light worker's energies. And so you will have times of perhaps, if not sudden illness, then a sudden fall, such as what you experienced. And we are exceedingly glad that your angels were with you and steered you, steered you into something which was not too injurious. And so you in that moment unconsciously connected with your angels and were extremely grateful to them. And our writer had a similar incident recently, in which she is still thanking her angels for saving her from. In that moment, you connected with them in a beautiful and profound way, and also had a brief moment of wondering, is this it? Perhaps as you hit the pavement or just before. And this is understandable. And what this does is to connect one in a very sort of jolting kind of way with one's soul. And so this shifts your aura, and your cat can see your aura. And perhaps the little one is a bit frightened. Does this mean he's ill? Or does this mean he's going to leave me? And in another sense, is quite attached and quite joyful about the amount of love and light that is visible there. And so this is not unusual for an animal also to sense when there has been illness or injury or something that shakes one up. And you will notice perhaps a dog comes over and wags its tail and sticks its nose toward his or her human guardian, human parent, and just wants to be there with them if something is wrong, if they're crying, or if they're upset perhaps over a sad movie, or perhaps over a relative who has passed. It might be something small, it might be something great. But an animal senses when there has been a shift. But we would say that there was a shift in your aura, a shift in your energies, and this happened for a beautiful reason, and that you have just sort of moved up to a higher level and a higher level of sensitivity, sort of all of a sudden. You've been doing it slowly, but in that fall, it occurred a bit more, you sort of jumped up a level. And this can be rather jarring. And people find they dislike illnesses and they dislike falls and strange incidences that sort of, in one sense, wake them up, and in another sense, really sort of just... it's just jarring. It's just too difficult. And that is understandable, entirely understandable. On a soul level, all is well. That connection needed to be strengthened, and it was strengthened. And you are now operating, shall we say, a higher system. And that is a beautiful thing. But there's no reason to worry. The cat will calm down and feel a little less alarmed or a little less shocked and fascinated in time. But at present, that's all it is. They are highly sensitive. They don't have the sort of filters due to cultural teachings and mind programming that humans have. And so they sort of naturally know a great deal that humans have forgotten. And that's all that is. But again, we say we are quite glad that you are well.
I just love it, Commander Archangel Michael and Sister. We have neighbors, and they have a little dog. And it seems like this little cul-de-sac is, many animals are starting to gather here. We started with ourselves when we moved here first, and two kitties that lived next door, which is now where we're living now, because we were next door then, and they were living in this house with others that were living here along with two dogs, and they started to come over to our house. And one day they just trotted in the back door and they sat down and they went upstairs and they just wouldn't go back. They just said, this is where we are living. And so that really worked out very well, because it turned out when we talked to the people next door, they said that they really wanted to get some more dogs. And I knew that the kitties were just like, more dogs? Uh-oh. And then our sister that owns the house that we were living in next door, she decided to come and live here, and she's got this just amazing pair of animals. It's a cat and a dog. And she's from Spain. She's one of the original Celtic beings. And, I mean, she carries the energy. It's just powerful, which, you know, that energy traveled up there to Scotland and then over to Ireland. So that's a whole triangulation of that amazing Celtic druidic history, rich history. And and so she calls her cat, and his name is Catito, which just means cat in her Celtic Spanish language. And her dog is part of the kind of dog that is a lion dog. You might say that they actually can attack a lion if need be, you know, to save a human and stuff like that. And she's got part of that in her, and then I think another kind of like a Great Dane or something. But she's this happy, huge, beautiful animal. She's got browns and reds and grays and blacks and whites, like all through her skin. And I mean, she just raises her ears way up. She makes a personal connection with someone, and that she never forgets them. And so this cat and this dog are the best of friends. And of course, these cats over here are part, they're part bobcat, literally. They were the mother, Tabitha, she was born in the wild, and her mother was a bobcat from the wild. And she was born in the mountains in Abiquiu. And that couple next door that was here now, back then, they just adopted them when they were living up there, and then they came here with them. So we've got, you know, these kingdoms of beings that are related. You know, the Mara's related to the lion. These folks, these little kitties have some bobcat in them. And Catito is just amazing where he can deal with all this animal energy. And now there's a brand new family member in addition, another kitty who's named Dee Dee, and she's a little 6 week to 8 week. She's about eight, maybe she's 9 weeks old now. And she's all black, and she's got clearest blue eyes. And among all this immense energy, she just trots over the fence, and she walks in everybody's kitchen and says, "Hello, I'm here. Can I meet you?" She goes out to everybody.
Well, animals do indeed carry astounding wisdom. And when you speak of the cultures that some have come from, this is an interesting point, a fascinating point, because we find that this is something that the dark hats, as you might call them, the dark forces somewhat overlooked. Because though they have wiped out many an indigenous tribe and peoples across and clan across the world, they forgot that animals retain much of the wisdom of these tribes. And there was once a time when, of course, when indigenous persons could and clans could speak with animals intuitively and understood much of their language and gained great wisdom and understanding about the earth and about healing methods and about the history of the earth and how the earth moves and how nature acts. And they drew great wisdom from that connection. And, of course, that was drummed out of people in the Western world and many other places. It has never completely left the earth, but it will be regained once again, and much that is assumed that has been lost will be regained in terms of cultural learning and tradition, and it will be regained from contact with animals, intuitive speech and understanding and respect for animals. And this is quite a beautiful thing, and this will be an active part of the new earth, and you will see this increasingly. And what you have perceived, you will see other people perceiving in time as well. Yeah.
Thank you. And I just wanted to ask a little bit more. And let me give this number again, as someone else would love to call. It would be nice to hear from others. The number here is 888-429-5471. 888-429-5471. And is that right? Maybe I gave you the wrong one. No, that's right. And then the other one is 530-413-9537. 530-413-9537. Okay. Barack Obama, he got up there on the TV and he had his two absolutely gorgeous, beautiful girls side by side. And, you know, he's forgiving the turkey time. And it's kind of funny. And the thing is that those girls, they are, as we were talking about the animals, you know, the rich culture of Africa, Kenyan, and also not only Kenyan Barack, but Bantu, the Bantu tribe. Malcolm X is his father, and it's kind of amazing because the level of people perceiving these things and the wisdom of who he is and his memories and, you know, at least 1,000 years of preparing for this particular incarnation, remembering himself as Akbar the Great, and creating in his reign, ending 49 wars, I mean, with, you know, Excalibur, El Moria, overlighting that experience, and we need that now. So, I mean, to me, the possibility of literally ending all these wars right now, it's actually in him. It's in him. And spirit doesn't make too many mistakes. I don't think so. And I just think that this is just so ordained at this time. And, I mean, I can't think of another being that would be in a position to embrace and welcome our wing makers and our blue avians and literally having them walk off starships and actually meet them. And, I mean, I've heard so many light workers call us up from all kinds of places, and they just say, even though I can't understand why he's supporting the TPP at the moment, this now moment, and at that moment he ends the Keystone Pipeline, and it's the synchronicity, and he is a statesman. And again, he was that in the last lifetime that we were speaking of. He was a statesman, even though he had the lack of reading and writing. It did not affect him. It actually created, I think, adversity brings more wisdom and more love, that kind of concept. And we're on the cliffhanger of the edge of the edge, and I think a lot of light workers, like we were talking a little earlier, are quite concerned about how are we going to fix this one. And it seems to be getting way over and out there and out of hand, yet maybe you could speak a little more to this. But the girls are up there, and Barack, he's a real ham. He really is. I can't quite find where that was written. I wrote it down here somewhere. But he was up there, and he was just saying, you know, my girls, this is the seventh time, you know, that they've come up here, and they think this is weird, and that they not necessarily think that I should be doing, you know, granting, you know, turkeys their life, you know. But and the girls just laughed because he said they do it because they're doing it for me, because they know that this is important for me to do and that they care about it. That's about the only reason they're up here. And then the audience started laughing and chuckling. And yet, you know, what he was saying is that he was giving a message again. I mean, it might look silly in certain ways, but what the message is that we can forgive and give new life to all people. And I just thought maybe you'd like to speak a little more to that. Here it is. I found it. Here it is. Let's see. He says here, I'm going to publicly thank Malia and Sasha for once again standing here with me during the turkey pardon. laughter, everyone, including Malia and Sasha. They do this solely because it makes me feel good, not because actually they think that this is something I should be doing. It is hard to believe that this is my 7th year of pardoning turkeys. Time flies, even as turkeys don't. And then everybody's laughing more with that cute little joke. And Malia and Sasha say simultaneously, "Oh, that's good." Then Obama laughs and says to the audience, "You think that's funny too, don't you? I know some folks think this tradition is a little silly. I do not disagree. But I've got to listen to my critics say I'm often too soft on turkeys, and I am sure the press is digging into whether or not the turkeys I've pardoned have really rededicated their lives to being good turkey citizens." I mean, this guy's a ham. He really is. And so then jumps in and he says, As best as we can tell, the turkeys Obama has pardoned have never been charged with a crime. Then they go on. And with that, Chris Hayes says, "This is my very favorite holiday." And he said, "It's really especially because during these times of tremendous fear and tumult and lots of very awful things happening in the news, it is wonderful to have an opportunity to take a moment and to look at the people that we love, as we are so lucky to be around them, or unlucky, as it sometimes is the case, and thank them and thank whoever it is we thank." Could you want to embrace that a little bit more, Sister and Archangel Michael?
So you have yourself pointed out this, how this is a beautiful metaphor, this pardoning. And it is, well, a quiet reminder, a sort of subconscious nudge to encourage people to understand that in the United States, far, far too many people are incarcerated in quite an unjust manner, and they are generally non-white. And we would say that this is a president who has broken down many barriers. Only perhaps 10% of those is that have been visible to the average person. And so this is a man against whom there's been an orchestrated resistance and an orchestrated campaign of obstructionism, certainly, and yet also a smear campaign to the effect that he is not up to the job and that he should step down for this reason or that. And you have seen him sail up and over these obstacles and achieved what a few presidents in the last or this century have been able to achieve. And he is, as well, an exceedingly brave man. You speak of his daughters as well, and they are brilliant young light warriors. They are highly conscious young people, and it is a highly conscious family into which they were born. And, of course, yes, this is a gentleman who prepared for many, many lifetimes for what he is accomplishing now. And we cannot comment on that which has not yet occurred in the sense of passing judgment upon it. We would merely say he, from our perspective, and there are innumerable perspectives throughout this universe, but from our perspective, he is accomplishing his mission with exceeding grace and good humor, and great bravery, great intelligence and articulation, great vision. And he is fully aware of who he is, and he worked these traits that you mentioned, being charming, being a bit of a ham, and as well being a handsome, a tall fellow, every bit a leader, sounding and appearing and coming off in all ways a leader. And these were the characteristics he chose before coming into this life for obvious reasons when one looks at his mission. And it has not all yet been revealed either to him, quite yet, not all of it quite yet consciously to him, and most assuredly not to the world. But those of you who hold a torch in the sense of holding up a light, a specific Barack Obama candle light, believing in him, and encouraging him and appealing to the heavens for his safety and his well-being. This has not gone unnoticed, and there are legions of angels around him and around the White House, around his family, keeping them in safety and lighting the way for all he must accomplish. And yes, most assuredly, he is one who has been ending the wars. You speak of his legacy and what he is giving to the world. And he has already been doing much, as you know, of what he came here to do. And so you will see more. You will see much more. And that grand and astounding moment that you wait for with bated breath, where he speaks of the galactic presence, it is really something that he has been introducing in several ways for particularly the past 3 or 4 years. And he has as well been alluding to the angelic presence, which is just as powerful, if not more so, and perhaps more eternal, one might say. And so we would say yes, in the sense to which we want to say to the world, step back and let this man blaze his light. And yet we would say that each light is equally as important as his. And so consider that each time that you envision him stepping up, as they say, stepping up to that podium to say we are not alone. Each time that you envision him saying, this is a new era and America is leading the way, and then speaking of Massara, that you are empowering him, that you are giving him more, we won't say ammunition so much as more power to the wave that he was riding in on. And you are, only further contributing to that which he already knows he must do, and he is doing it, and you are aware as well of both the galactic and the divine meetings and convenings and council discussions that he has, during which time he receives great wisdom and great encouragement, and that is also something to be exceedingly thankful for. You have spoken of portals within the White House, and most assuredly, and Lord Lama has traveled through several, but most assuredly these do exist, and this man is not alone in what he does. And so do not, we would caution those listening to not believe the news reports that this is a man isolated in Washington with little, few people backing him. If you could see the many legions of angels and galactics backing him, you would be beyond astounded for quite some time. And he knows he is not alone and that he does not operate alone. And so, yes, lend your light to his, because this is a very great wave that is crashing down upon the shore, and nothing will be the same afterward. And understand that it is already occurring. One waits naturally for outer signals that a great moment has occurred. Understand that this is a movement of many phases, and that this has been unfolding for many, many years, decades, in fact. And so we ask for your patience as it continues to unfold. Yes.
Thank you so much. I was going to say one more thing. You reminded me of... you know, Killer Mike, you started out with that. And Bernie Sanders, he's, you know, when he began his campaign, he just kept on saying, this is not about me. This is about you and creating a movement together.
Indeed.
And then there was these Black Lives Matter group that they're saying they're going to stay until you know, justice is served, everybody here in Minneapolis, they're talking about. And they were doing a chant, all of the demonstrators, and they were saying, as God is goddess, we will all be all right. And I thought, wow. I mean, is that not the new time? And here's these people on the ground creating a movement and rising up above all the stories and addressing the goddess. And I am also, because Rama's had the opportunity and the blessing to be able to talk to Bernie, to be able to talk to Oprah Winfrey, to be able to talk to Randy Rhodes, to be able to talk to Elizabeth Warren and these people, coming together in Costa Rica and discussing how to get the goddess in office. And a lot of people, the only ones that they see is Hillary. And again, compassion is possible to have here. Yet compassion brings, you know, Sananda Kumara said, I come with a sword, and it is the sword of truth. In other words, truth and reconciliation is on the table right now. And this gentleman named Brandon, he was the independent journalist from Chicago that he needs to be acknowledged because he's the one who literally pushed forward for the dashboard video footage of Laquan McDonald's murder by the officer, yes. Jason Van Dyke.
And
this
he made quite brave.
It was totally brave.
Quite brave.
And,
yes.
And then he came on the air and he said in the past 72 hours since they've been talking about what he did on the air, three or four more families contacted me about their own family members being the victims of police violence. So I am going to look into all of them. And the city's police superintendent is insisting that the department's policing, including the when officers can shoot and when they cannot, it has to be improved. And that the police involved in the shootings, you know, again, this idea of compassion includes coming with the sword of truth and that truth and reconciliation. And this man is an instrument of bringing that forward. And the movement of people all over this country and now all over this world, in a sense, we're taking a lemon and turning it into lemonade when we look at the ties where, you know, Francois Hollande was instrumental in getting the black op accomplished, yet the people have risen up above any kind of retaliation other than speaking the truth to power and joining a global movement. Hong Kong, the young people are back in the streets and they are insisting on a democratic way of life. There are people in China right now in the tens of thousands with the Qigong movement. And they're, you know, they've lost so many lives. Tens of thousands of them have been just eliminated there. And the growth of the movement, it's the movement, and the messengers are making way for the goddess. And I just think in my heart so deeply, feel in my heart so deeply, that Michelle Obama has much more in her than anybody can dream of. And she's depicted it every time with such eloquence when she's been asked to speak at a university or to speak to that young lady that was the baton twirler band when they had their second, you know, presidential parade, and she lost her life the week later in Chicago violence. And this has been a theme where this is growing. And if you could say one more comment about the high possibility and probability of Michelle Obama taking her place and representing all women, and Malala right behind her, you know, with education, education, education. You erase the educational and the intelligence of and the awareness of a woman, and you bring all the children in that direction. I pass the talking stick to you one more time, Sister and Archangel Michael.
Indeed, indeed. We would say that this is indeed a time of, as you say, the time of the awakening of the divine feminine upon the earth, which cannot be avoided or ignored or shoved to the side or denigrated as it has been in the past, because it is so powerful now and because those technologies which you depend upon daily beam images of women being quite not only educated and empowered within and of themselves, but creating whole movements which involve young girls and young women and women of all ages across the world. Something else to note as well are the activists insisting that things change in India and that women in that country not be assaulted and denigrated and treated as so horribly as they have been, most unfortunately, for far too long. love. And this also is a great movement forward, a great step forward. Western women as well have yet to move forward in terms of how they view their own lives, their own self-worth, despite the economic and political rights that they have had, which were likewise hard won. But certainly what you speak of in terms of Mrs. Obama, this is her presence, is, as we say, this is a highly conscious family, and her presence in that White House is anything but accidental. And she has been seen, to begin with, as a support to her husband, and yet now you do see her stepping forward and standing in her own light. And this is likewise not accidental. This is a moment when the divine feminine is saying, I will have a voice, and I will have a voice in your public systems. I will have a voice in your government. I will have a voice in your educational systems, in medicine and in law, and in entertainment, which is still very greatly patriarchal in essence. And so this is a moment not merely for one woman, and she understands this. Unlike many, many people who have come before her, who are apparently not activists in the sense of that is what they have given their whole lives to. She has been in the public eye for quite a while and in the political world for quite a while. But unlike other women involved in politics, she stands not so much for her own sense of career or her own favorite projects or ideas. She stands for all persons, and particularly for the raising of women and children and young girls to a level equal with that of men. But in that moment that they draw equal to men who have rights, not all men do have rights, but in that moment that they draw up to that higher level, you see the role that men have taken on and the attitudes and beliefs and ideas and training that men have had also transforms. And so there is first one step and then there is the other. And this is a sort of a very beautiful sort of a cascade, a sort of a domino effect, so that she does not appear, Mrs. Obama, to be trying to shift human consciousness all at once. She is saying women and young girls do indeed, as you say, deserve education, deserve human rights, deserve to have control over their own bodies and their own reproductive choices, deserve to have marriage choices, and deserve to have human life choices and political and social and economic rights. And so she is saying this. And as she moves further into that realm and accomplishes more on that level, the next step up from that is to change everyone's viewpoint. And we don't say that she is shifting all of human consciousness single-handedly or shifting political systems all over the world single-handedly, but she is opening a very great door. And so what you speak of is, one might say, phase one of actually implementing what her husband is introducing. And this is a beautiful thing, a beautiful partnership that they have, and a beautiful friendship and understanding between them on a soul level. And we would say that the country has never seen the like in terms of a political couple working together, because they transcend the political line so completely, and yet in this very beautiful, subtle way that one could not accuse them of overstepping their boundaries and their goals. And of course, they have been given desperately narrow categories in the sense that they are African-American folks, and the feeling has been amongst the Fourth Reich of how did they get there and why can't we control him, and let's unseat him, or at least let's block everything he does, and let's make sure she never gets anywhere. And none of that is actually succeeding, not in the long run, no. And so what you speak of is a worldwide movement. It is indeed. And hence she is working with this dear lady master, Malala, who is truly an angel in human form. Yes.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And now there's these young girls. I mean, there's a triplicity there. And
yes.
They have really shown the world how a family with such love and gifts and a deeper, meaningful, beloved relationship can bring forward the new with those children leading the way. I have always been taught by all our teachers that the children choose their parents, and they choose to come before them, in a sense, meaning that they have the wisdom of their parents and then some. And so they're actually leading us. And that's just like, I thank you so much. Thank you for taking this whole time. I hope that this energy is coming back a thousand million fold for your voice to clear and for the messages that you bring to reach far and wide on this planet. Seth, thank you, Archangel Michael, and thank you to the collective.
Thank you, Commanders.
And thank you, Caroline. But for you, this meeting would not be so. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We are honored. We are privileged to have been a part of this, and we thank you with all of our hearts. And we bid you namaste. And we will bring our writer back briefly now.
Namaste. Okay, thank you. Namaste.
Well, thank you, Tara and Rama. Thank you for the chance to let the collective speak. I'm sorry, I did get really emotional at one point. I wasn't expecting that. That's the most emotional I've ever gotten, channeling them. But, I feel like we're on a huge wave, you know, a huge, powerful wave. And we seem to be in a 2 or 3 month powerhouse energetically. And where anything could happen.
Indeed, and you know, the season has begun. You know, there's and there's more and more people, you know, bridging the gap, because it's a very large gaping gap between the, you know, the GOP and whatever else is out there, and then there's Bernie. And again, on pretty primary time, MSNBC, Chris Hayes said last night, and this was on his show, he said that Bernie Sanders has been at least 12 points ahead of everybody on sides from the very beginning, and that the reporting has not been true to form. And this has never happened in the history of campaigning, not ever. And again, it's right in front of us. The gatherings continue to be larger and larger and larger, and the meaningfulness of the words that are being spoken, that little short 6 minute condensed energetic killer mic presentation was exactly what it. Kill me with love, killing me softly with love. Wasn't that a song somewhere? Thank you, sister, for being at that really deep space and allowing the vulnerability. And again, thank you, audience, because it says a lot about all of us that we are willing to go there together. Yeah. And if you want to tell anybody anything about reaching you, would you like to kind of give us a little of that right now, sister?
You can just go to my website, CarolineOceanaRyan.com, or you can email me at ascensiontimes@gmail.com, and that's just the word ascension, and then times@gmail.com, if you need to email me. But, generally, I'm just always honored to be a part of the show, and thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving.
What a powerful thing. Thank you, sister, for the greatest time to be alive. Amen. Yeah. Until we see you again, mañana.
All
right.
Okay. Namaste.
Aloha. Aloha, nui aloha. Thank you. Okay. Hello. Okay, everybody. So we better do a little quick transition here. I think we're not going to go to that middle point, Mr. Brandenburg. We've had a nice little Brandenburg be all the time, but we're going to share some music here. I think we should maybe go to the awards, the American awards, and our sister Celine Dion. She sang in honor of the Parisians, and she just she did a powerful, and of course she's French, and there was a presentation right before that, so let's listen to that and embrace it and make this part of all the stories that are being told. How can I put this in the sense of the meaningfulness of you know, no matter where. In Tunisia, we just had something, and in Mali right before that, and then Paris before that, and the refugee situation in Europe, and the Heil Hitler, let's close the door on everybody except us white folks, rendition of our hairpiece, and so on and so forth, and send
not my hairpiece,
not your hairpiece. All I can say is that love always wins. So here we go. We're going to change the venue. Here we go. Change the furniture here. All right.
Seconds. Fetty Wap had such an incredible year, and I know he didn't win, but I have to shout him out for having that much success this early on the Billboard Hot 100. So thank you guys, and oh, and thank you to Universal Records, Cash Money, and Young Money. Thank you.
Please welcome an Academy Award-winning actor, Jared Leto.
Earlier this year, my band 30 Seconds to Mars was wrapping up a tour in Europe, and we were looking for a good excuse to stop off in one of our favorite cities in the world, Paris. We decided to play a little impromptu show at a classic venue called the Bataclan. It was beautiful, peaceful, and unforgettable. What a difference a day makes. 7 months later, on the evening of November 13th, 2015, that same venue, Bataclan, was under siege, one in a series of terrorist attacks on Paris that changed the world forever. 129 innocent people died, 368 were injured, and another 7 billion will forever be scarred by this horrific and senseless tragedy. Like some of you here, we had friends and former colleagues there that night. Steve Toth, Matt McJunkins, both made it out. Thomas Ayad did not. Antoine Lery was also at Bataclan and said, "Friday night, you took an exceptional life, the love of my life, the mother of my son, but you will not have my hatred." He went on to say, "You're asking for it, but responding with hatred and anger is falling victim to the same ignorance that has made you what you are." You want me to be scared, to view my countrymen with mistrust, to sacrifice my liberty for my security? You lost. We are just two now, my son and me, but we are stronger than all the armies in the world. Tonight, we honor the victims of the unimaginable violence that has taken place this year in Paris and around the world. France matters. Russia matters. Syria matters. Mali matters. The Middle East matters. The United States matters. The entire world matters. And peace is possible. By the way, many of us here are the sons and the daughters of immigrants. And Steve Jobs, the son of a Syrian immigrant, President Barack Obama, the American Music Awards wanted to show its support for the people of France and the entire world. To that end, they asked a woman who possesses one of the world's great voices to perform an iconic song made famous by the legendary French artist Edith Piaf. Ladies and gentlemen, Celine Dion.
In charge of a personal security detail for, at the time, Colonel Mingus, and we were in the eastern province of Kunar, Afghanistan, and we were going over there for a security meeting, for a national security meeting, when my team and I were encountered two motorcycles coming towards us, and which was unusual. So the ANA, Afghan National Army, actually did a good job of putting the rifles and yelling at them. Sergeant Brink, my platoon sergeant.
These guys were on the road ahead of you?
Yeah, right in front of us. Once the motorcycles were there, the dismount started running away and turned to my left, and there was a guy came out of nowhere, walking backwards, parallel to our patrol, and so he's a threat at this point.
Walking backwards, right, you said?
Walking backwards,
okay.
Parallel. So he does a 180, and as soon as he does a 180, he just cuts through towards us. So that's when I left my position. So Mahoney followed me, and, you know, you just react. And my job is to protect the boss and protect the VIPs, and so he was a threat. You have to assess a threat. I hit him with my rifle. I grabbed him by the suicide vest.
And when did you know that he had a suicide vest on?
Well, when I hit him. That's when I knew, because I felt it. You know, so I took my rifle and just hit him. And at that point, I'm like, okay, this is real. So the only thing you got to do in this case is to, you know, try to get him away as far as possible from the boss, because, you know, he's dangerous. So, you know, you just react and grab them, throw him, which is on Mahoney, and he detonated at our feet.
And, you know, we've just seen attacks in Paris, and suicide vests have been used there, and suicide vests have been used all around the world. Where did you find it in you to grab someone that you knew was wearing a deadly weapon and drag them away, knowing it could detonate?
It's just the way we are. It's the way we're designed. It's the way we train, the way we love each other. You know, it's brotherhood. It was real easy for me to do anything out there for my guys, especially with Colonel Mingus, who I consider like a second father to me. He mentored me, and so did Commander Andre Griffin. So at this point, it's, you're out there every day. You're trained for years. You live together. You go through a lot of crazy things together, and you're willing to do anything for these guys.
28 people on that patrol that day. 24 of them survived. 4 people did not. I believe the picture's right here. We have Command Sergeant Major Kevin Griffin, Major Tom Kennedy, Major David Gray, and Ragai Abdel Fattah, a USAID Foreign Service officer. Do you think of those people? Are they always on your mind, the ones who didn't make it?
Every day. I have this bracelet here, as you can see. I'll show it to you if you want to look at it. And on this bracelet, you have the Command Sergeant Griffin, Major Gray, Major Kennedy, all 4th ID. And, you know, I wake up every morning and, you know, I think about them. I wake up, I go to sleep every night, I think about them. I just want to make sure that, you know, I was given a second chance, and I would do everything, and I would give back everything to have them back. I would trade places with them at any second. So My goal in life is to remember them and, you know, speak about them like you're doing, which I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And be a better person, because I get to live for them. And for the rest of my life, they're every single day, they're going to be next to me. They're going to be supporting me. And I'm going to make sure that I do my best to honor them and their families.
When did you know? When did you know that you were going to survive? What did we assume you were knocked out by the blast?
I was knocked out of the blast. I was thrown about 15 to 20 feet. So I came back to it about a couple minutes later, and, you know, I was in shock. So you kind of, it comes back to you, and you're there laying on the ground. I had an assault pack, which is a backpack that was, you know, keeping me up a little bit. And I saw my leg, and I realized that I was probably going to lose it. So at that point, I just, you know, I assessed the situation, more wounds, and I looked at my leg, and I thought, I must have stepped in an IED. So that means that this is probably an ambush, and there's going to be small arms fire coming up next. So I looked for my rifle, couldn't find it, took my pistol out, make sure it was around, you know, lock and loaded. And anybody came, I would try to do my best to shoot them, but that I had to get out of the kill zone, so I started dragging myself. But I was losing a lot of blood. And the reason why I made it is because Sergeant Brink ran, picked me up, grabbed me by the handle my plate carrier, dropped me into a ditch where my medic would have torn a PCL, MCL, worked on me and gave me a tourniquet and kept me alive.
Now, I understand you were medevaced to Germany, and when you woke up, you thought that the person speaking to you at your bedside, who was a nurse, I understand, or a doctor, you thought that it was the lead singer of Korn. This is what you thought you were seeing when you woke up. What are the sanitary standards in German hospitals? That would terrify me if I saw that. You actually thought you were looking at the lead singer of Korn?
It was him. It was him. Washington Post, you know, just did a story, and he remembers the day he was doing that. They were up there in Landstuhl doing a concert for the troops.
It was the lead singer of Korn.
Yeah. We're like best friends, according to you. Know, so.
Wow. Yeah. One last thing. I understand that you were born in France.
Yes.
And that you speak French.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to say to the people of Paris?
Yes. You know, I'll say it in French, that's okay.
Yeah, please.
Pour la France, en fait, qu'est-ce qui s'est passé à Paris? Ça m'a brisé le cœur parce que je suis né en France et mon cœur va toujours être français. Alors, je vous dis, restez fort et vous êtes dans mon cœur et je vous aime.
Captain, thank you for your service and thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you for being here. From Thanksgiving, and I want to take this time to mention something I'm thankful for, Donald Trump, because he gives all of us on TV something to talk about. He's all over the newscast, he was on SNL, and if you turn on CBS, there's some guy talking about Donald Trump. Trump is getting a lot of heat for something he said about Muslim Americans' reaction to the attacks on 9/11.
Hey, I watched when the World Trade Center came tumbling down. And I watched in Jersey City, New Jersey, where thousands and thousands of people were cheering as that building was coming down.
You know, the police say that didn't happen, and all those rumors have been on the internet for some time. So did you misspeak this tonight?
I saw it. There were people over in New Jersey that were watching it, a heavy Arab population that were cheering as the buildings came down. Not good.
No, not good. Also, not true. But... but if it was... he was apparently the only person who ever saw it because there is no evidence the alleged celebration ever took place. And I had my crack footage team look for it. Nothing. I gotta tell you, my guys are the best. Anything I name, they can find it instantly. Here's a challenge. Let's see, can you guys find a woman giving a psychic reading to a possum?
Yes.
Boom! Claims that he saw it, and he has evidence.
Donald Trump will be speaking here in just a few minutes. He called me late today to once again defend his claims, telling me that although he doesn't remember where exactly he saw that video, he does know he saw it because he has, quote, the world's greatest memory.
That's right. That's right. They can't remember exactly where he saw that video, but he can remember that he has the world's greatest memory. And Trump doesn't just have a perfect memory of the past. When it comes to the terror threats facing our country, he can also see into the future.
I wrote a book in 2000. And in the book, I mentioned Osama bin Laden. I said, bad guy, he's going to do damage to our country, and we better do something to stop him.
I said, Osama bin Laden's going to try and come in and do some big damage. Don't forget, in my book written in 2000, I was the one that predicted Osama bin Laden was trouble.
If you read the book, it says Osama bin Laden.
Yes. Trump predicted that Osama bin Laden was threatening America all the way back in the year 2000, the same year bin Laden was linked to the bombing of the USS Cole, and only 2 years after bin Laden was indicted for the embassy bombings in Tanzania and Kenya, and only 7 years after bin Laden was implicated in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. That's spooky. It's like Trump has some kind of fifth sense that lets him see what's in newspapers and on TV. And Nostradamus, not the only one with this power. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I will attempt to predict the predictable. Commune with the occult powers, so I may know the known. Yes, something's coming, something's coming. Next year, there will be an iPhone 7. And then right after that, an iPhone 7S, which will be almost exactly the same, but for some reason, you won't buy that too. I'm getting something cold. A frozen yogurt shop in your neighborhood will open and close within the next year. James, author James Patterson will publish a book that may be purchased at the airport. Let's kick this up a notch. Hold on 1 second. Yes, yes. Oh, yes. The weather is about to get colder, followed by a warming trend in the spring, and then a heat wave in the summer. The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 will be playing this Friday at the Times Square AMC at 6:45, 9:15, and 11 p.m. Peace in the Middle East is pretty darn unlikely. Stephen Colbert will lose his fortune cookie prop. And then he will find it moments later.
See here, yes. Yes, oh yes. Oh, hold on. Yes.
Crowds will continue to be easy to pander to, especially here in New York City, the greatest city in the world. Trump will still do pretty well in the polls. Whoa, my God. Oh, I was in a trance there for a while. Excuse me. That is hard. I don't see how Donald Trump keeps doing it. You know, I wonder if Donald is getting help from that psychic possum on his head.
We'll be right back with Spike Lee.
Is the Oscar-winning director of such films as Do the Right Thing and Malcolm X. His new film is called Chirac.
I'm down for the cause, but how? We force our men to negotiate peace by exercising conscious self-control and total abstinence from knocking the boots. Man, you really think something like that could bring peace?
Y'all know the power we have over them withholding just a day. A week. Ooh. Imagine a month. A year. Y'all, they gon' bring the peace.
Suppose that the men just dump us.
If we all hold out, who can they go to?
The
them homes over there.
Well, we will enlist them too.
If we want our men alive, we want our babies to thrive, we gonna have to organize.
Please welcome Spike Lee.
Best request. My father wrote that song. That's the theme for Mo Better Blues. Thank you for playing it. The movie Mo Better Blues.
Now, you know John because he was in Red Hook Summer, one
yes,
of his films.
Yes, yes, and he's one of New Orleans' greatest.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Keeping that jazz tradition alive. New Orleans.
For those of you who need a little out there, for those who need a little education, you are a writer, producer, director, actor known for She's Gotta Have It, School Days, Do the Right Thing, Jungle Fever, Malcolm X, Inside Man, and Old Boy.
Right.
You're so prolific. You've made...
Oh, you left out something.
What did I leave out?
I'm a tenured professor at the NYU Graduate Film School.
Oh, really?
A tenured professor.
That means you can get away with almost anything.
They can't fire me.
Let's test that tonight, Spike. Now, the new film is called Chirac.
Yes.
Which is a combination of Chicago and Iraq.
Yes.
Okay, why that combo?
Well, you have to ask. I mean, really, I did not come with that name. It's local Chicago rappers came with that name. We felt that not all Chicago, but the South Side of Chicago is a war zone. And so they feel, probably even today, that is safe in Iraq than it is on the South Side of Chicago.
Well, the stats on that are since 2001, more Americans have died in Chicago than Iraq and Afghanistan combined.
Right.
Okay, what's the root of this violence? What's causing it?
Well, it's many different things, but I think that one thing I really hope people come out of the film when they see it is that we have to have really a real discussion about guns in this country. I'm not talking about taking away anybody's Second Amendment rights, but there's certain things we can do. Tougher background checks. We could title guns like cars. I mean, Chicago's a very, very tight country.
And I would say many people, members of the NRA, agree with this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Chicago's a very, very tight gun control law. But you get in the car 20 minutes, half an hour, and you're in Indiana.
The film takes its plot from the Greek comedy Lysistrata.
Satire.
Yes,
satire.
It was
written 411 BC by Aristophanes.
Okay, tell people what happens in that one.
Well, for those who didn't take English, Greek literature, the play's about a character named Lysistrata who is tired of war in Greece. So she gets women together and say, let's form a sex strike. Let's withhold sex from our boyfriends, husbands, or male acquaintances, and make them put this, not guns back then, but put the spears down, knives, whatever, and
no sex until the war's over.
Yes. And there's a woman named, I always forget to mispronounce the last name, Lima Guabi. She won a Nobel Peace Prize in early 2000 because she used that same tactic in Liberia and stopped the second Civil War. She won a Nobel Peace Prize for that. So,
wow.
It can.
Do you think that would work in Chicago? Because I understand that there's one woman in Chicago from just seeing the trailer actually started a sex strike.
She's up to 37 people, and but
I would like, what a compliment to you.
But I would like to say this: what's happening on college campuses today? You know, what's happened at University of Missouri when football players got together and said, "Unless the president resigns, we're not going to play." I think that could really, a sex strike could really work on college campus where there's abundance of sexual harassment and date rapes. That's a college campus, university, I think that will work. Right, the second semester is going to happen.
Once people come back from Christmas and some stuff jumps off,
there's going to be sex strikes at universities and colleges across this country. I believe it.
Well, you've got some amazing cast in this. Samuel L. Jackson's
yes.
in this. What's it like to direct Samuel L. Jackson?
I don't.
You don't?
He said, are you ready, Mr. Jackson? Yes, Spike.
Action!
Now, tomorrow, there is actually a video that's coming out in Chicago.
I think it's coming out today.
Today.
Yes.
Of a young man named Laquan McDonald.
Yes.
Who was shot by police. And the police officer.
One officer.
What?
One officer, I think.
One officer. And he has been indicted.
Right.
For this shooting. Some people were against this video being released, the dash cam video. It's being released today. Do you believe that it's always better to see the event, even if it can incite a violent reaction? Because people are very worried about this video being released.
Right. I think that, number one, they're worried because they think that black folks in Chicago are going to run amok. And I don't know if that's necessary. So I think there's a way to have peaceful demonstrations without tearing stuff up. That's what I feel. They're from Father Flager in Chicago.
I hope you're right. I hope it is peaceful.
I'm hopeful that nothing crazy happens, but I'm glad that the tape has been released because this is democracy. And sometimes I don't think we could pick and choose what America should see.
I noticed around your neck. You've got a cross.
Yes.
I noticed around your neck you've got a cross. And you also have another symbol. That is not a peace symbol.
Yes, it is.
No, it's a Mercedes symbol.
All right, which writer wrote that up?
He's fine. All right. His name is December 4th. We'll be right back. Grammy-winning singer-songwriter whose memoir, Boys in the Trees, comes out today. Please welcome Carly Simon. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
I feel like we're about to go to the beach in your floppy hat. Thank you for wearing it. You are a 3-time Grammy award-winning singer-songwriter. You were the first artist to ever win a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Golden Globe for the same song, Let the Rivers
Run.
Isn't
that boring?
Isn't it? It's not boring. What are you talking about? That's impressive.
You think I should have a variety of songs.
Really?
For that.
You have
for those
a variety
awards.
Of songs, but you nailed it all down in one there. Obviously, everybody knows you from You're So Vain and,
that one.
Yes. People, I'm sure, you ask you all the time who You're So Vain is about. I'm not going to ask you that question.
Clever of you.
Thank you. I will ask you, do you know Who Let the Dogs Out? Who? You know that one? Get back to me on that one. You have a new memoir. The memoir is called... Boys in the Trees. Why Boys in the Trees? Who are these boys? Why are they up in trees?
Well,
are they trying to get away from you?
I wrote a song in 1979 called Boys in the Trees,
mm-hmm.
and it became the title of the album. And it was really about the question of, do you go to them or do you let them come to you?
Well, what's the answer?
The answer is, I don't know. I haven't figured it out.
Was the book an attempt to figure that out? Because there are different reasons to write memoirs. Sometimes we write memoirs or write books to set the record straight, and sometimes it's to find out things about ourselves. Which one was it for
you? How many have you written?
Really? I've written several about an old character I used to do, but about myself, nothing yet.
It's hard. This took me 4 years to write.
You're very open, very personal. You talk about early sexual experiences. You talk about sort of a distant relationship you had with your father. You talk about your own insecurities. Do you ever say to yourself, maybe don't write this book?
I don't think I would have written it until I got to the vast old age of whatever I was when I started it. Mm-hmm. Because you have to accumulate experience and the way you process it. And I wanted to find out more. In fact, it was a way of processing the information, was to write it down and see what it looked like on paper and see what it brought forth as I was writing it. And it was very emotional. It was extremely, it took a lot out of me. There were some nights that I just made everybody in my house mad and upset. And I started stammering again. I used to have a very bad stammer when I was a child. I began to stammer again and was very self-conscious of it.
Really? From just writing the book, is it when you were writing about childhood memories that the stammer came back?
Yes, because I when I went to school, I could never raise my hand, even if I knew the answer to something the teacher was asking, because I was afraid that it would be halted, that I wouldn't be able to finish the arc of the answer because I would stammer, and it wouldn't come through the way I wanted it to.
And that came back when you were writing about it.
Yeah.
Is it still with you, or?
Now and then, but you've made it very easy for me to talk for some reason. It's just flowing through me. Maybe it's you looking in the crystal ball.
You had a relationship, you've been married for many years to James Taylor, and James was just on the show the other night.
Yes, I saw him.
Yeah.
He was wonderful.
Did you like our rewrite of Fire and Rain?
Yes, it was hysterical.
You say his music gave you grace. What does that mean? How was music safe haven?
Well, it didn't give me grace all the time, but he taught me so much about music, and when we sang together, That was the perfect coming together of like a perfect fourth. If his note was the C sharp, mine was the F sharp. And those were our two perfect notes. And when we sang them, they just met in some place that to me felt like inside the inside of a beautiful cathedral. And the harmonies just drifted up and just melded together in a very graceful and grace-giving way.
Is that literally what you mean, or is that just a giant metaphor? Because it's pretty either way. I just want to make sure that the cathedral you're talking about was actually someplace where you were singing.
It was the sky.
The cathedral was the sky?
It was the sky.
It was the sky?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is the rest of the interview going to be dialect? Who's your favorite person to have sung with over the years?
Oh, my kids.
Oh, yeah.
My kids and James.
Yeah, well, your son Ben and your daughter Sally are here tonight, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, they are.
They're going to sing a song with you in just a minute.
Yes, yes.
And you said also with James. Yeah. Did you have a favorite song to sing with James Taylor?
I guess, I don't know. What's your favorite?
Well, I mean, I know you guys did Mockingbird together.
Oh, well, that was an Inez and Charlie Fox replay.
Oh. But you guys did your own version of it.
Yes, we tried our best. I mean, James was really, he was wonderful.
Can we try it? Can we try it?
Oh, no. No, no.
No, can we try it, please?
Oh, my God. Do you know it?
Yeah, I got that one.
I really like the song. Since I've got you here,
okay.
If you're looking for somebody with that Carly Simon feeling, really, Carly Simon is the one you want to do. Really? We're trying to run. What's the note? Can you?
That's good, right?
Mock.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't thank you enough, everyone. This was wonderful. We want to squeeze in one more song of our brother. You'll recognize the song, but we got to bring this beautiful show tonight. Everybody, this energy that we come together with produces beauty, and that's where we're all headed. So this one. That one? No, not that one.
This one.
Yes.
Well,
Okay, this is our brother Beatles. You'll hear the song. Here we go. Let it be now, everyone. I want to read a quick little gift that we all got together here. This is from a sister of ours from Hawaii. And this is what she says. And she's talking to all of us, so let's listen to this together. I am thinking of you fondly at this celebrated moment in time. And I share great appreciation for you in my life. Whether that duration was or is great or small, it is as though we are all wondrous spices of life that we share as valuable connected family and as one humanity. I choose to see, I choose to feel the vivid colors of the benevolent good, the harmony, the well-being, the abundance, the peaceful accord, the divine light in my neighbor's eyes. And let the less than fall away, let the less than fall away into the distant, faded gray tones of the background. As we, my dear friends and family, who continually make the world sparkle and shine for others, thank you for your brilliance. Thanks to you and me and we, our future is bright. May this Thanksgiving celebration open our hearts to the new revelations of joy and love. And this is from our dear sister in Hawaii. Love everyone. Love all. And I think with that, let's have our music maestro. We'll see you tomorrow. And be well. See you on the bridge. Most heartfelt, Aloha Nui Loa. Namaste, maestro, music maestro.